I'm Rosie Starr of Farm & Country. Become a sound supporter of Radio Catskill. Becoming a sound supporter means you make a monthly pledge that's automatically charged to your credit or debit card. It's easy. To become a sound supporter, you just go to wjffradio.org and click the donate button. It's safe and secure, and it's the smart, convenient way to support Radio Catskill, public radio for the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania.
This is Radio Catskill. I'm Jason Dole. New York State United Teachers is a statewide union with more than 600,000 members in education, human services, and healthcare, affiliated with the American Federation of Teachers, National Education Association, and the AFL-CIO. Joining us now, live on the phone, is President of the New York State United Teachers, Andy Pallotta. Andy,
thank
there.
Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for joining us on this stormy day in New York State. The entire state's covered up by the storm. So you represent what we could actually consider the next phase of frontline folks during the pandemic, believe it or not, teachers. What is the New York State United Teachers' position on reopening schools?
Well, we've seen what the Reimagined Task Force has come up with, right? The social distancing, the sanitizing, limited gatherings in schools, having these transportation needs taken care of by social distancing and mask wearing on the bus. So we've seen what has come out from that. We agree with a lot of it, and we also see that there are problems with it because districts around the state, many of them, have not filed complete plans with the state ed department and with the governor's office. So while it was a good plan coming out from the Reimagined Task Force, we're seeing that a lot of districts are falling short, and also the Department of Health is also falling short in a lot of ways.
I have to say, I'm not actually familiar with the Reimagined Task Force, not that much anyway. Like, what I was following was a Governor Cuomo saying, yay, all the schools got to have plans in by, by last Friday, essentially, by the 31st, and then by the end of this week, there'll be like some official word, but likely the governor's going to go along with the individual plans that the schools came up with, and they were doing this in conjunction with the State Board of Ed and the State Department of Health. That was just my impression of what was happening. What can you tell me about this Reimagine group, and is there anything wrong about how I was thinking of this process?
No, you're thinking along the right way, and the plans were supposed to be into the SED last week, and by the end of this week, we imagine that the governor will be making a declaration on those plans and what he sees around the state from the plans coming in. We also believe some districts have done a good job doing the planning. They've worked with parents and community groups and the local union chapters, so they've done a good job. We also have been hearing some pretty bad feedback, which is two-page documents that were sent to SED from at least one district, a two-page safety and health plan during a pandemic is ridiculous. So we know that there are very good people out there, very competent people, and we also know that some people have submitted some pretty ridiculous things coming in from districts around the state. So we are not all in one accord. How about that for the way things are going in the state?
Wow. So do you imagine that the powers that be at the state level will agree with you that, you know, a two-page proposal is not going to cut it?
I believe so, yes, because when you take something as complex as bringing over 2 million students back to school, you have to have something that is sound, that will give people confidence. The governor spoke the other day, and he wants parents, he wants educators to be comfortable coming back to school. And from what I'm seeing in some places, like New York City, where the Commissioner of Health resigned today, I've been also hearing from other places around the state, they're not comfortable yet. So some places, they've done a good job. They have a plan. People seem ready. Other places, they are not ready at all, and their plans are insufficient.
And then there's a question of what happens, you know, if the schools move forward and then there's a COVID case discovered at school, what happens after that? You have said that there needs to be crystal clear guidance from the state, how that should be handled. Do you think that the schools that have come up with more comprehensive plans, have they addressed that issue? And are you seeing the clear guidance from the state on that issue of what happens if a case arises once schools are open?
Right. We are looking back at to what happened about a week ago in Westchester County. The Greenberg North Castle summer school program was going on, and there was one positive COVID case. We intervened in that district. We weren't satisfied with what we were hearing from the Department of Health, and we pushed to have the school closed because we didn't feel that the tracing was done in a proper or a sufficient manner. So with that, there were then 9 cases, and the school has been closed going on its second week. So what we want is, if schools reopen, that there would be a way of closing the schools basically immediately upon a COVID case. Doing the tracing immediately, we just spoke with one of our folks from Central New York, and they were telling us it takes 9 days to get a COVID test result back. 9 days. We're talking about rapid testing, and they're talking about 9 days to get a result back. So that's why we're saying we're not satisfied with what we're seeing around the state, and we must have something that is much more streamlined and testing that is available to the entire school community, where they would get the results and they would know through the contact tracing who needs to be quarantined.
If we were talking 3 weeks from now on the 25th instead of here on August 4th, and what you're saying is still the case, what would you then be saying? Would you be saying, like, well, then this means that we can't open across the state, or does this mean that these individual schools can't open? Like, what are you hoping might happen in the next 3 weeks?
I would hope that within the next 3 weeks, the folks who sent in the 2-page safety and health plan would have it sent back to them, and they would have to really get community input, the local unions input, and parents input, so that the parents, educators, will be comfortable. And imagine sending your student to a school where they only put together a 2-page document, and that's supposed to keep them safe. Where are the protocols? So we're saying right now, if it was schools opening next week, we don't have a comfort level. Some school districts have done a good job, but this is one state. We want to have one way of taking care of students throughout the state that works for everyone.
I was just thinking back today, actually, just back to the weekend of March 13th. It was March 14th or 15th, I think, that I started getting calls from local school districts saying that they'd be closed for the next 1, 2, and 3 weeks. There was this 3-week closure, which that's when this whole thing, I mean, you could see it all around us that it was bad. But that was the thing that was like eye-opening, that I'd never in my whole life heard of a local school closing for weeks at a time. And of course, we all know now the school's never reopened again. I mean, did you ever think that you would be in this situation, that this is what you would be working on? And how are you dealing with this reality over the course of the last, 4 months?
Well, NYSED has an incredible staff that has been working with all of our local leaders, field services around the state, our political department, legislative department. So they've been on top of this situation. There has not been a beat that's been missed. So our serving our members has been good. Thinking that we would still be dealing with this 5 and 6 months later, I don't think that crossed many people's minds. But I would say, if the schools do open and then they have to close, they need to be able to do that on a dime. Students should have access to broadband. There should be resources that we've been talking about having in schools throughout the state. They should be able to do remote learning the next day. starting, like, not missing a beat, getting right to picking up those lessons and just starting them like they were in school. So, yes, it's been a tough road. We had a flat tire. We repaired it. We had remote learning. There's nothing better than being with your students in class. I taught for 24 years. That's the best part of it. But we also have to know that we would rather err on the side of caution, and that's where we are right now.
What are you hearing from teachers? I mean, obviously, you know, when you're hearing about these flimsy plans that are in place, and it's probably teachers that are telling you that they're not comfortable. But, like, overall, if you can, you know, kind of average out in general how teachers have been feeling about this and what they want to see happen in the fall, what have teachers been saying?
For the most part, we have teachers, support staff, that are very concerned, very nervous about going back because they don't feel that it's safe yet, that the protocols in place would not be enough to keep them safe. So we are definitely hearing from a lot of educators throughout the state and taking what they are saying to heart and making sure that we speak to Chancellor Rosa and the governor's office also about what the situations are, what the problems are, and potential answers, solutions to those problems.
And what do you most want parents to know at this time?
The main thing is that there should be no misconceptions. The health and the safety of students, our staff, and their families must come first. So, yes, we had remote learning, and that went on for months. Was everybody happy with it? Of course not. But it kept us going. So if we feel that parents have no confidence in the district's ability to keep the students safe, then we should side with the parents, with the educators, and err on the side of caution. At this point, you know, we're looking at school districts that have opened. And there's a photo of a school district in Georgia that opened, and there are tons of students in the hallway, and you can see that only a couple of students have a mask on. So let's not replicate what looks like a potential disaster.
All right. Well, Andy Pallotta, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you for having me.
All right. That's Andy Pallotta. He's with the New York State United Teachers. He's the president of that organization. We're talking about the Teachers Union and reopening schools. This is Radio Catskill.
I'm Scott Van Gorder with Van Gorder's Furniture. Van Gorder's Furniture and Radio Catskill are natural partners. We love the programming. It's worldwide, but it's also local. Without being political or anything, I think that you can go to WJFF for the truth in the news. That matters to us, as you won't last too long in business if you're not honest, straightforward, and part of the community. 30 years for you guys. I think that's wonderful. It brings value to our life around here. I'm Scott Van Gorder with Van Gorder's Furniture, and we are proud to support WJFF.
Radio Catskill is committed to community first. Please support us now with a financial contribution at wjffradio.org. Thank you.